Welcome, you're listening to Abnormal Japan, a podcast based in Tokyo. We share experience living in Japan while diving into abnormal topics. If you're an expat, curious about traveling, or just a lover of all things Japan, check us out. You can find our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and YouTube. All the links will be in the description. All right, let's get on with it. Hey everyone, I'm your host Bree. Hope y'all are enjoying season 2 so far. Last episode we discussed tired myths about Japan, so check it out. As always, I'm here with my co-host.
The one. The only. The alpha. The omega. No, I already used that one. Never mind.
Yeah, I think you used that one last time.
I was trying to think of other adjectives, but I couldn't.
No, you're good. As always, a dramatic appearance.
I try. You know, I try to be like a WWE wrestler. You know?
Oh my gosh.
I don't even like wrestling.
I was like, are they still doing stuff?
Yes. And people love it. Apparently it's big in Japan too.
You know what? Kudos to them. They're getting their bag. All right, let's get into today's topic, which was suggested by our Instagram followers. We see you. Thank you.
Instagram, Abnormal Japan.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about travel essentials for Japan.
Yes.
So whether you're traveling to Japan or within the country, you're going to want to listen to our solid tips to stay prepared during your time. Mm-hmm. Let us know if these tips helped you or if you have any to add to our essentials list, because I feel like this list can go on forever.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. We consolidated it, so hopefully these are very helpful and it gets you started.
Yes, because these definitely, we have, you know, firsthand experience in discovering the use of these.
Yes. All right, let's get started.
Numero uno.
The first one I would say is how to stay clean and hygienic while you're traveling within Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I say this is because when you use public bathrooms, there's often no paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and sometimes there's hand dryers. I don't know, just it's usually culture here to bring your own personal hand towel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like a handkerchief kind of, you know, like small size.
Yeah, if you go to like a discount shop, you can just get a ton of little hand towels and just bring it with you when you're out and about. It kind of sucks because I don't know, I just feel like that also becomes not as hygienic over time.
Yeah, and also, like, if you wash your hands from the restroom and you've got, like, you know, restroom water in the towel and you put it in your pocket, now your pants got restroom water.
Oh my gosh.
It's not cool.
It is what it is. But another suggestion is just bringing sanitizer or having antibacterial wipes.
Yes, those come in clutch, because that way you don't use the towel that you use to wipe your hands from the restroom toilet water if you want to wipe your face or anything like that. You know, just get some hand sanitizer.
Oh yeah, don't mix. I know some people mix, like they'll wipe their face with their same like restroom towel. That's kind of weird. But like I said, when you come to public restrooms here, there's usually no paper towels, and there's also sometimes no soap. I don't know how that works here. I don't know why. And if there is soap, it's usually really watery and low quality. I don't really think I'm being like cleaned up that way.
There's no suds.
I don't know if suds are like really important. I just think it's so watery. It's like, what is it doing? So I just bring antibacterial wipes, and I bring like a separate little baggie to throw those away, because there's also no trash cans.
Mm-mm. Not even in restrooms sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's what I was talking about. In restrooms, like sometimes in the States, there's like a trash can to throw away.
Whatever you have
to throw away. I do think lessening on paper towels is a great thing, because I don't know, we don't need to cut down more trees just for drying our hands. So I'm not too mad about the hand towel, but I do think there needs to be better soap.
Yes, 100%. And I think hand drying is like, I don't know how I feel about hand drying, like it just blows air on your hand, but it's definitely better than the paper towel thing.
All right, so next up, I would say these are some pretty good applications for your phone or electronic devices in general. The apps we're about to mention were not sponsored by these companies. We're just sharing what apps come in clutch for basic traveling. So first off, I like to start off with a map app, so like Google Maps. There's several different types, but I have decided that this one is the best for me. It has updated over time. So at first it was pretty basic. Like you just got your, you know, train times, whatever. But now they've upgraded it to telling you your platform number and let's see, like what cart is less busy at certain times.
Right, or for transits, like it'd be a, hey, try to get on this cart.
Mm-hmm. So it has upgraded really well. I think they're like preparing for the Olympics and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would use that because if you're visiting here and you like, oh, I want to go to this side of the city, I need to take this train, it tells you different options. So whether you can walk or take a subway or mm-hmm. take a bus or a train.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. You can choose the time you want to like depart. It comes in clutch. Mm-hmm. Other ones I've heard that are good is an app called Transit Maps. So if you want to see the different railways and subways per region, this is really helpful.
So if you just want to know like mm-hmm. what you can get on and get off.
Yeah, so like we're in Tokyo, so we're in the Kanto region. And if you wanted to know all the railways in the Kanto region, mm-hmm. it gives you like an overview of what that is. So you can kind of see.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see which ones are available in your area. And it's really helpful because if you're visiting and you want to go to different prefectures and different regions, you can just download that version.
Interesting. I like that because a lot of times the Google Maps is just the city maps of the area unless you're looking for specifically like, oh, I need directions. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this will just give you like, go here and you'll find a bus or go here and you'll find a train or something.
Well, I don't know if it's really good for directions. I think it's just like a map to see the railways.
No, I know. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Like, it can tell you where those are.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because there's so many different railway companies. So like you can kind of see, oh, this is like this mm-hmm. company, whatever. And it's all color coded, which is really helpful.
And even buses too, because, you know, sometimes the bus stops don't show up on Google Maps.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they have the bus routes on there, though.
Oh.
It's just for trains. And
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, still, that's really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think with buses, they may change more often. I don't think they're permanent, that makes sense. You know? All right. And then another one is Japan Navi Time, which is good for having a map for ATMs, Wi-Fi spots, stations, just getting routes and directions, and even travel guides. So this is helpful for people who are just visiting if you want like a guide of like how to travel within this area. And then apparently it helps you with planning. I downloaded it when we first got here, but I just didn't really find it useful since I guess we moved here to like live.
Right. I feel like it's more tourist oriented.
Yes.
Or like short visit.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, I mean, I think finding out Wi-Fi spots is really helpful.
Wi-Fi spots and ATMs. That's actually like
that's pretty clutch. Good. Mm-hmm. So check that out. I hope y'all like any of these. We recommend Google Maps though.
Yeah. The reason I would recommend Google Maps is because if you have a Gmail account, you can look up places in advance and star them or pin them, and you can get directions to those specific locations. So that I've been using that a lot to like research places, you know, for YouTube vlogs or like, you know, where we can go to like eat or like. Yeah, also, and you can share maps. It's
wild. You can share maps. You can make custom ones.
Yes.
Which is really helpful because sometimes if someone lives in an area and like they really know their area and they have like a custom map, if they share it with you, you know like the hotspots.
Right. And also Airbnbs will use this too. Like, hey, here's a an email with the link to my map. And when you get to the Airbnb, they'll tell you like all the things
around
it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I recommend Google Maps over everything. But
we should make like a custom map so that if anyone travels here and they listen to our podcast, they can just see our favorite spots.
Like Abnormal Japan Pod spots, Abnormal Japan Hotspots.
Hey, if y'all want it, leave us a comment. Okay, so let's move on to more transportation. So this one's a little bit more expensive, but I do understand that people have different needs or they're just feeling a little bougie. So I would say download Japan Taxi and Uber. So car transportation that you pay for is a lot more expensive than said in the States.
Right.
So be prepared.
Okay. So would you say Japan Taxi is more so like for not tourists necessarily, but it's like if you need a taxi and you can kind of navigate the Japanese translation of into English.
Kind of. Well, it has an English setting, but I think what's different, like it's like a taxi, like a Uber taxi. So it's not Uber. It's not just like random people. It's like the taxi companies. So you would have to know or at least research which companies are more affordable.
Okay, so there's I see what you're saying. It's more general.
Yeah, it's like for Japanese taxis versus just like random Uber cars. Yeah. I kind of like it just because their vehicles, their doors open automatically and the trunk and the trunk opens automatically. So it's really helpful if you have a ton of luggage, and they're very accommodating. Like, you feel very, like, taken care of and respected. Right,
it's like, service-oriented.
Mm-hmm. But I have heard that they can be a little sneaky. Like, if they know that you're new, they'll charge you more.
I mean, so, that happens whenever.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, it's very expensive already. So if they're doing that, Uber is still very expensive.
It is. It's very new to Japan as well. So I feel like there's not a lot of infrastructure, kind of like when we talked about with Uber Eats. I think Uber in the 23 wards of Tokyo has more things, but like it is harder to get.
Yeah, I noticed Uber here is a little bit more fancy. Like even like the basic fares, it kind of still seems like taxi,
right? Or Uber Black.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like even the lower fares seem very like, oh, okay, it feels like I'm going to a taxi. But both I'd recommend if you need it.
Yes.
All right. So another one I would say is Google Translate. Honestly, this should have been the first one because I use that a lot still.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
No shame. It's useful.
Yeah. So it helps with translating voice, handwriting. So you can like actually physically write characters and it'll translate to your language of choice. You can face the camera towards like signs or reading material or like simple documents and it'll translate it to your language.
Yeah, it's it's very useful if there's like kanji or like things that you can't read just yet, or if you just need translating something real quick. Like it's super useful.
It's not perfect though, so I wouldn't do it for like government documents or stuff. Like I definitely have that double checked with a native reader.
It is a good reference point though.
Yeah, but like if you're out shopping and you're like, oh, I wonder what this like dressing says, or I wonder what type of food this is, you can just face the camera. You can either take a picture and like scan it, or it'll like automatically translate it, which is right.
And if it's not super stylized, like it'll get it, but if it is, you might have to like type it in with your finger or something.
True.
Another translation app I wanted to mention is Illy, I believe it's called. It looks like an iPod Shuffle, you know, like the little white Pez looking thing. But that has been very popular, especially on the internet and amongst travelers. It's not 100%, but it does English to Japanese.
It's like for conversation.
Yeah, it's more so like you can use it to like talk to people versus like if you have like zero Japanese ability. So that's
useful. Wonder, is it pricey though?
I don't know. I believe it's a rental service.
I don't know
if you can buy them. Don't quote me on that, but I have heard of people using it as a rental.
I think I've seen it like the last time we went to an airport, they had like the rental service of it.
Right. And it started, it's a startup like from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So Google Translate is like a major company thing, but I know Illy is started by like a dude.
Okay.
That's another option I want to highlight.
Cool. Yeah, so definitely any translate apps that you have, use them or just have them ready on your phone so that, you know, not everyone's perfect. So just have it on you.
You can download language packs too to save some time.
And as our language is getting better, sometimes we still don't know like a certain word. So if we're about to ask someone something, we'll search up that word in Google Translate and then be like, oh, okay, so that's what I'll say. So
and try to use it.
Exactly. All right, so another application I would say is Meetup. So once you're here and you settle and you want to meet up with people and have fun in groups versus just like traveling alone, unless you're into that, Meetup is very helpful because there's so many groups all over Japan.
Yeah, and they're very active. Like I still constantly get emails from Meetup.
Yeah, and so you can just kind of join something. Most of them are low pressure. So just kind of have fun and you can choose your interest.
Yeah, and they're very affordable too. Like sometimes in Japan, when you go to meetups, you have to like pay for an event thing or like it's at a bar or something, so it's a cover charge. But I think Meetup people, they do a really good job of making it affordable for people to come out.
True. And especially if there's like events or holidays and you don't want to just go by yourself, but you want to celebrate something together and meet new people, like it's really helpful.
Yes, meetups and I think a less like official way is like Facebook groups, but I think mm-hmm. I prefer meetups because it's more random people.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I think Facebook groups are like once you get to know them.
Yeah, for sure, mm-hmm. for sure.
All right. And then as well, Airbnb and Hostel World. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that Airbnb isn't as popular in Japan anymore after like their whole flush, because a lot of people were doing it like illegally here.
Yeah, I think they changed the residential laws. Yeah. Something like that. They did something.
Like a lot of apartments are like, hey, you can't use your apartment for Airbnb because people were like buying out like rows of apartments for it.
Okay, yeah. Now, see, you messed it up.
So, but I will say because it's flushed out, the people who are on there, they're doing it legally and it's still pretty nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'd try it. And then Hostel World is good for those who, like I said, want to be in more group situations. Mm-hmm. And it's also very cheap.
Yes, I do believe there's some overlap too. Because mm-hmm. I remember we were looking into Airbnbs in a beach like region. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of hostels on there advertising on Airbnb. Like, hey, we have these rooms. We have this facility. But it's also like there's some overlap sometimes.
Cool. Yeah. I think those are helpful. Of course, these apply for all over the world for the mm-hmm. most part, but those are still pretty useful in Japan.
Yes.
Now, this is something I know, like, it could be really cool to be in Japan, but you still have to be safe. And we are on the Ring of Fire over here, so earthquakes happen very often.
It's unnerving.
Yes, and sometimes it comes with, like, tsunamis or tsunami, like, warnings. Mm-hmm. So I would have NHK World app downloaded. This one doesn't really prepare you for before an earthquake is happening, but just lets you know that something just happened. And it gives you updated news in English.
Yes.
So that's really helpful. Another one I learned recently about is Yurekuro or Kuru call. Yurekuru call. It's for oncoming earthquakes and tsunamis. And it gives you like a head start.
That's useful. I feel like that is more useful than the other. Like, I guess it's important to know, like, the NHK, like, the what they put out, but also, like, advance warning is useful.
Yes. And you can choose your own notification sound for different categories.
Oh, that's super useful.
Mm-hmm. I think they have a premium version for, like, the location can, like, change as you're traveling. Because I think you can only choose one setting, like one option for the free one.
Okay, so you just set like where you live, I'm assuming, or where you're staying.
Exactly. I think it's still pretty cool. I don't know. Some of the sounds are very like unnerving, but I guess you would want to know, oh, okay, something's happening.
Yeah, like I guess if it's what, like 5+, you'd mm-hmm. want like a legit alarm sounding kind of thing.
Yeah, you're just like, okay, something's happening. Mm-hmm. And then also Twitter earthquake accounts.
I believe I know one. It's called Japan Earthquake Tracker Japan Earthquakes. They I turn notifications on for them. I don't normally turn notifications on for Twitter, but mm-hmm. whenever they post something, it's always like the same hashtags. It's the location. It's where it's near. It's how many kilometers away from the nearest large city, I think, from the impact point. So yeah,
that's helpful.
It's useful,
especially if like you're on Twitter a lot. Like that's really helpful.
Yes, like I'm on Twitter a lot. Mm-hmm. And also the notifications are very manageable. Like I do notifications for them and then maybe some other apps, so like if I get a notification, normally it's one of those important things.
Cool. Yeah, and there's also a lot more apps, so just research, just keep that in mind. All right, so another thing, this is really basic, but somehow people still forget, identification. Just make sure you have your identification. So if you're traveling here, have your passport and visa and an extra ID on you at all times. Yes, because you may get stopped because they may be like, hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to be here? Because there are a lot of overstays on visas. So I think they're kind of paranoid.
That and also like, I don't know, I don't want to make disparaging comments out loud, but sometimes people get stopped, you know, they're like, hey, what are you doing? So yeah. It's important to have your identification on you because also you can get deported. Like, that is a big thing.
That's true. So just have that on you. And then make sure you have photocopies just in case you lose it. So a paper version, but also have like a scanned version on your phone.
Oh, yes.
Because definitely. Even if you don't have those things, but you have the scanned version, at least that can get the conversation started on like, hey, I actually am supposed to be here.
Right. If you're at a hotel or if you're at an Airbnb that has a safe and you want to put your documents in there, you can be like, hey, these are my documents. I have them at this place, you know, so it's something.
Yeah. And since, and I know we mentioned this a lot, but because the Olympics is coming, they're going to be more on edge.
Yeah. And so. It's going to be more security. They're going to want to make sure people aren't here for either. They're going to want to make sure people aren't here illegally or for, you know, nefarious reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
It's still not super likely. Like, don't freak out, but just be prepared so you're not like shocked. And then, of course, if you're a resident, you already know, have your resident card on you.
Always.
It's kind of weird because, like, Japanese citizens don't have to carry any identification.
Nope.
But if you're a foreign resident, you have to have, like, your alien card.
It, like, is legit called that.
Yeah. And police can't ask you for it anytime. Mm-hmm. And you're obligated to give it to them. Some people say you don't have to, you can fight for it. But what I see in regards to the law and the rules, you have to show them.
You can go against it if you feel like your safety is at risk. Mm-hmm. You can go against it, but I've been stopped a couple of times and both of my experiences were not the best, and I found that once they were able to see that I'm here, it was a much smoother experience. It didn't necessarily make me feel comfortable. But I also understand that's one of the trade-offs. Like, I would have resisted and, like, been like, hey, you know, that's kind of weird. I work here all the time, you know, whatever, whatever. But it made the situation dissipate a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. Again,
you want to have it on you no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's your call if you want to fight it.
So, cash. You must have cash on you. Mm-hmm. Exchange your money before you come here. Sometimes I heard that, like, if you exchange your US dollars here, it's like better because like they need more US dollars or like they see it as more valuable. I don't know,
it's a weird exchange,
so just thing. Look up whether it's better to exchange it before you come or when you arrive. Make sure you have cash on you here instead of on like a card, because there are ATM fees and whatever, and most places still only take cash.
Yeah, and also if you try to withdraw from your bank and you haven't told your bank that you're traveling, they'd be like, we saw your card get used in Tokyo. We blocked your card.
Yes, this is true. Let your bank know if you're going to withdraw money via a card that you're traveling so that they can, you know, understand, oh, okay, that was you. Also, cash bills are bigger here, the yen. So make sure you have a wallet that can accommodate, or you could just like be messy about it. But
that was very strange. Like they have more width.
Yeah. And then have like a little coin pouch because you're gonna get a lot of coin change.
For sure.
Their dollar equivalent, their $5 equivalent are coins. And then if you are going to have a credit card, try to get a Traveler International one so that you can avoid transaction fees and then or a debit card. And you should be able to withdraw. I think you have to withdraw like 10,000 yen at once.
Right. Which is roughly $100.
Yeah, roughly. And then if you want to send money back, you can use TransferWise. Mm-hmm. If you have like, this is more for residents. If you have like a Japanese bank card, you can use TransferWise.
Yeah, so you do a bank transfer to TransferWise and then they send it over to your whatever country bank account.
And it's a low fee and it's like really quick.
It's very low fee. And I want to say like it's under $5 to transfer, so that's not bad. You just tack on $5 to your thing and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Hope you're enjoying this episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our podcast. Want us to ramble about another topic? Drop a comment below on our Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Links, as always, will be in the description. All right, back to the podcast.
Also, you're going to walk a lot here.
Oh my God, talk about it.
You're going to, no matter where you are, unless you know someone with a car or you plan on paying for a car everywhere you go.
Right.
So just bring easy to walk in shoes, regardless of style. I know some people can walk in like shoes that are uncomfortable for others. Just make sure you can conquer kilometers in them.
Yes, conquer them.
Yeah. And then if you don't want to compromise on style at all, despite how uncomfortable it's going to be and despite all the, you know, things that will happen to your feet, just make frequent stops instead of like trying to go the long distance.
Yeah. And it's very easy to do. There's cafes, you know, what's it called? Drugstores, malls. You'll find AC. So
yeah, just window shop, take some breaks, take some public transportation. I know usually people freak out about taking buses, but trust me,
buses here are nice.
Yeah, sometimes you can avoid the train by just taking the bus, or you can get a bus to the station
and avoid the heat.
Yes, or the cold if it's really like winter.
Yeah, if it's like dead winter, yeah, take a bus. Don't do that to your bones.
I'm not saying like get like lame-o shoes, but just be comfortable.
Are lame-o shoes comfortable? I don't know.
I guess lame-o shoes are like just really bad styled, but like they're meant just for walking.
Oh, like the shape-ups?
Yeah, the shape-ups and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. You don't have to go that far. Just know you're going to walk. Make sure you're not wearing things that hurt your feet.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know I have a knee and like lower back issues, so I wear flat feet. Or flat shoes or whatever.
You wear flat feet?
I wear my flat feet proudly. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing is you're going to need Wi-Fi and data. One or the other, whichever. I know a lot of travelers here use pocket Wi-Fis. You can rent them at the airport or you can get them at a shop like an electronics store. You can get like a data SIM. I know some get them at combinis. I'm not too well versed in that. But what we would suggest is mobile, like M-O-B-A-L.
Yes.
Data SIMs, they have like short-term ones and long-term ones. So they're great for visitors and long stayers, I guess. Yeah.
If you are going to stay for long-term, for sure recommend mobile. Mobile short-term, I don't have much experience with. I know when we first got here, there was some at Big Camera or Yodobashi and some at the airport too.
Yeah, but I would say those are more expensive.
They are more expensive, but they offer certain key features. Like if you use Line or Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, I believe for certain social medias, they don't charge your data amount.
Oh, true.
So there's real key benefits if you're short staying that I don't know if mobile offers. But long stay, 100% mobile is the way to go.
True. For long-term people, they have teacher discounts.
Yes.
And regardless of how long you stay, it's no contract. So I think that really comes in clutch because Japan is notorious for having cell phone companies have long contracts, like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
It's awful.
With garbage data.
Mm-hmm. It, like I said, there's still some flaws with it, but it's overall a good balance of things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other ones out there, so... You know, share them with people. Let us know.
Like we said, add to the list, y'all. Let's make this Japan traveling the easiest that it can be.
And then have a portable charger. Like, just have it.
Yeah.
You're going to probably be using your phone to take all the pictures or contacting people. Mm-hmm. Your phone's going to die. And then you're going to be in a country. And you're going to be like, where am I?
Yeah. And there's tech YouTube. Find somebody reviewing a portable charger and get you a good one.
And if you want to wait till you get here, they have cute as fuck portable chargers.
If you want a cute one, they got it.
Mm-hmm. And it can be like a souvenir. Also, plug adapters.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It depends on where you're coming from. But Japan uses 2-prong plugs. And they run on 100 volts and 50 to 60 hertz. So, if you're anything outside of that, like if you use 3 prongs or something, bring an adapter so you can still use your appliances. Yes,
very few Japanese plugs that I've seen have the third bottom plug socket thing for the grounding plug. So you're going to have to get a converter for a lot of things.
Yes.
Especially if you're bringing stuff like...
I've seen on Amazon, like it's like one super universal plug for any country. So you can just like look into that.
That's true. And they're usually pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. Like for all the different countries in the world, like 30 to 60 bucks. True. I mean, that's an investment.
Well, I don't know how much they are, but.
Girl, you know, I'd be on Amazon, even though I hate it.
I know. It's so like controversial.
I know. I can't help it. I'm just like, this is the biggest marketplace. You trying to tell me not to go? What if I don't even buy anything? don't know.
You just like window shopping.
Literally open a window, go shopping.
Yep, that's what it is.
From the cool AC. Dang. All right, anyway, let's get out of Amazon controversy land.
All right. So another thing is transportation passes. So we use IC cards here, which you can like fill up amount of money in it, and then you just like boop, you tap it, whether you're going onto a train or a bus or whatever. You can even pay for things at convenience stores with it. So popular ones that we see around here, I'm sure there's a bunch of them in Japan, but Suica and Pasmo.
In the Kanto region, Suica and Pasmo are the two big ones.
Yeah. And there is a Suica app on the Japanese app store. So it tells you like your balance, and you can kind of use that instead of having a physical card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then for those who are like visiting, I heard the Japan Rail Pass is really cool. We've never used it, but what I've heard is that you can buy it before you arrive, and apparently you get a lot better deal, and you can buy like 1 to 3 week ticket type, and pretty much it allows you to use the Shinkansen Unlimited, which is like the bullet train, and also the Tokyo JR lines and the Narita Express for the airport. And this is really helpful if you're going to be like long distance traveling when you're here.
Yes, especially because I recently had to go into the Tokyo station for a work thing. And a lot of the JR lines and even the KO lines all go through Tokyo station. That's a huge hotspot if you want to go for like tourism or sightseeing. There's a lot of stuff there. But seeing the sheer amount of trains that stop through Tokyo station, like, it's wild. Like, I know Shinjuku is like the real big popular one or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
If you really want to see like all the different train lines and all that stuff, Tokyo Station is where to go. And you can use that pass on every one of them.
Well, it's mainly for JR lines.
Right. No, I'm sorry. Not everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's for Tokyo JR lines.
Redact that statement. And the Shinkansen and yeah, all that.
But let's say you just want to stick to one area. So you just want to stay in Osaka, or you just want to stay in Kyoto or Tokyo. You're not going to really like be hopping around. I would just say get a day pass or regular tickets, but I still would say IC card comes in clutch.
Yeah,
you do have to pay, I think it's like 500 yen, so it's like $5, and then you have to I think put in some money onto it. I would just say that because you can reload it, and it's also a souvenir.
Yeah, and you can get dope, cute, all kinds of adjectives, little stickers.
Oh, yeah, like IC card stickers. True.
And those become souvenirs. Everything is a souvenir, basically.
True. And then for the next one, I would say travel insurance. Now, we moved here, so it's different, but I do hear a lot of travelers using this. It's pretty much just to have them covered for medical emergencies or avoiding fees for missing baggage or canceled flights. So I'd say look up companies that are, you know, good for you, but that's something to keep in mind.
Yes. And I believe I saw this on Instagram. Somebody was talking about if your plane inconveniences you in any way, try to see if you can get travel credits.
Yes, I heard this. So let's say your flight gets delayed. You can go up and be like, hey, this inconvenienced me, and like you can get travel credits, so that can apply for your next flight, or they can upgrade you.
Right. To see business. What they can do for you, basically, kind of thing.
Yeah, like just speak up, because most of the time they get away with this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like they're just like, well, oops, my bad, y'all are gonna deal with it anyways. But if you say something, they don't want to look bad, so they'll give you travel credits or they'll upgrade your situation. So that's just to keep in mind when you're flying.
Yeah, I think my brother did something like that when he had a delayed flight. He was like, y'all are fucking up. And they were like, oh, no, we'll put you in first class. He was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't know where he was going, but I remember him telling me about that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, another thing, because, you know, Japan is the land of four seasons.
The land of four seasons.
Yeah, have a weather app. You probably already have one on your phone.
Yeah, usually they come with one built in.
Yeah, but just use it, check it. And depending on the seasons that you're in, you'll want to know what to look out for. Now, we are going to like briefly talk about the seasons in Japan. So let's talk about spring. Spring is can be rainy a little bit.
Right.
And I would say it's generally pleasant. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry too much about like having like super like warming clothes or rain jackets, but just it's kind of mild.
Okay. Now, for people who live in different hemispheres or different time zones or whatever, what time is spring in Japan?
Okay, that's March through May-ish.
Okay, March through May-ish. And this is where it's got the flowers blossoming, the cherry blossoms, mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah, and the average temperature is like 17 Celsius okay. or 63 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's nice. That's mm-hmm. real cool.
That's real nice. And it's sunny. It's cool. And then summer, oof, it tends to be hot and humid.
Oh, we in it now.
Yeah, and that's like June to August. And it's about 27 Celsius, 81 Fahrenheit. Now, that's probably not hot for some of y'all. I know, like, we're from Texas. 81 is nice.
It is quite nice.
I think that needs to be upgraded because, you know.
Well, no, this summer it's been a lot hotter. It's been hitting, like, the early 30s to, like, mids.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely been higher 90s in Fahrenheit, mm-hmm. for sure. And with that humidity, oof.
Y'all, Japan is an island. I thought Houston was humid. It is. It's nice on my skin and my bones, and I like it. It's like a mellow humid, you know? Galveston, different story. We ride on the beach. Japan is an island. Ain't no escaping the ocean. It's everywhere. It's in the air.
True.
So, like, the humidity is oppressive.
Yes. And then fall, which is one of my faves, mm-hmm. which is, like, September through November.
Oh, my God. Is... My birthday's in September. It's in the fall. I'm a fall baby. I don't even keep going.
Yep. It's generally pleasant, but September is like typhoon season, so it can be pretty rainy this month.
It's just like me. I'm generally pleasant, but sometimes I can be a typhoon.
Yeah. So the average temperature is like 20 Celsius or 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. And then winter is just cold, y'all.
It's just cold.
It's just cold.
It's very dry. Mm-hmm. Like all the humidity disappears and yes. your skin just starts cracking.
Yes, humidifiers are important in the season here, mm-hmm. Because you can easily get sick or you just like wake up really groggy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be that bad, but I was wrong.
Yes, and
first couple of winters were just.
Mm-hmm. It snowed our first winter.
Wait, it did! Oh my God, yeah, it yeah. did! I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to northern Japan, it's going to snow regardless in winter, but not yeah. so much in Tokyo. So we were surprised.
It was a shocker.
Mm-hmm. And so this is like December through February. So about like 9 Celsius and like 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Honestly, I think it's actually lower than that.
What? Yeah, this list needs to be updated. I don't know who got this. Not you, like in the notes or whatever. I'm saying like who made the list. They are inaccurate.
It's average. So they, I don't know. But yeah, it could be pretty freezing. And of course, this is more so for our region. I think I said earlier for seasons in Japan, I meant seasons like in the Kanto region.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
My bad.
And also clothing stores here will often carry seasonal clothing items. So if you do end up wanting to buy clothes, you know, it's good to buy... what is it, like Japanese brands or whatever? Like,
yeah, I think that's actually a little bit smarter way to travel unless you're like gung-ho on bringing your own stuff. But yeah, yeah. if you just want to travel really light, have kind of like an empty kind of suitcase and then just go shopping when you get here, I think that's a good idea because then you'll mm-hmm. for sure get clothes that you need.
Yeah, and also like I've seen travel hacks where it's like people will bring, what is it called? Like mostly just like inners, like underwear, socks and stuff like that. And like one solid outfit and they'll just recycle it because ain't nobody going to know if you're traveling, like whatever. So yeah, that is a hack for any season. Like no matter when you come, like pack like more space, like you were saying, mm-hmm. so you can bring shit back. And also that True. Saves on like luggage. And if you go overweight on the luggage scale on accident, you pay mm-hmm. for it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know some people will come in with a carry-on and then they'll buy a checked bag with all the new stuff and then pay for the checked bag fee.
Oh, on the way back.
On the way back.
That is super smart. So mm-hmm. that way you just don't bring shit.
Yeah, you just bring a carry-on. Yep. All right. So we're getting closer to the end. All let's right. talk about messaging apps. Mm-hmm. Because you're probably going to meet some new people. You're probably going to want to keep in contact with people back home.
Make some friends.
Yeah. So if you meet people in Japan, Line app is super popular.
Yes.
Everyone's going to ask you, what's your line? What's your line? And you kind of scan your code. Just set one up. It's kind of like a cutesy WhatsApp.
Yeah, basically. It's not owned by Facebook either, which is nice. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a messaging company. I think it's partially social media, I want to say.
Kind of, yeah. So I would just have that downloaded so when you meet locals here. Mm-hmm. And then Facebook Messenger is pretty chill, despite, you know, them being recording Facebook, everything that we say. No shade. All the shade. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about that.
It's just, it's so useful that it's frustratingly useful.
And then if you're a little bit more old style, a little classic WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp is super popular in like non-Western countries.
Mm-hmm. I think the messages are encrypted.
I think they're automatically encrypted. Mm-hmm. You can turn it on and off, I believe. And I think they're also owned by Facebook, but they are operated under a separate division.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, WhatsApp is big in Africa, India, and Latin America.
Yeah, so just choose your favorite and stay in contact, you know? You don't gotta be alone.
Yeah. For real.
I don't know who I'm talking to.
I don't know. Oh, Instagram and Twitter are also really big. People love Instagram here. Like, if you go on Japanese hashtags, you're gonna see all this stuff. You might even catch some things you never even expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, bring anything else you may need. So if you require medicine or you just have some personal comforts, bring that too.
Mm-hmm. Double check the legality of your medicine. But yeah, definitely bring it if you need it.
True. Because in the States or other countries, sometimes the dosage amount is that like the amount of it is illegal in Japan.
Cause usually, like it's 20 grams in the US, but you can't have 20 grams in Japan. Something like that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So just make sure that, you know, you can bring it over. Or I have heard, especially for,
I think it's like Tylenol maybe. Or
No. For medicine for like mental health reasons.
Oh, no. Sometimes. Topic. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to like get it approved. Because normally it would get confiscated and you can get in trouble. But if you let them know, no, this is for like, you know, mental health purposes and it's cleared off. Yeah. Just make sure you handle that before you come here.
Yeah. We'll try to leave resources as well for the medicine thing too.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's close off this episode with...
What's up?
What's your favorite season to travel with in Japan, Ashish?
I'm on the spot. Okay, my favorite season to travel in Japan. Yikes. I think I'm going to have to go with... I'm stuck between fall and winter.
Fall and winter?
Yes.
Winter.
Okay. Yeah, okay, because I like winter. It gets dark early, so it feels like early nighttime. And I love the nighttime. I really should be more of a morning person, but... I just can't help it. Whatever. Winter, there's a lot of things to do at night. I like fall fashion, and fall fashion just translates to winter.
Oh, okay. So what kind of things happen in the winter?
There's a lot of illuminations. And by illuminations, it basically means people set up lights to like celebrate the end of the year, the Christmas season, or like the holidays in general. They do really cool lighting effects, or there's light shows. There's fireworks sometimes in the early fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had to pick for fashion, fall is my favorite all time.
But just like traveling.
Yeah, for travel, I would say winter because it's not miserably hot. And you can get really interesting fashion here. Like Uniqlo has the heat tech vests where it's like a thin foldable vest that you can put underneath a heavier coat so that you're not bundling too many layers.
Layers,
and you can,
okay.
Yeah, and you can just travel. Regardless, the AC is warm. You get a little heat packs if you're a little too cold. It's cozy. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like winter.
Okay, so you like it because it's cozy.
Yeah, you can go to cafes. Go to Starbucks in the winter. You just go with the coat, chill outside with a warm cup of coffee. You can go anywhere.
I see you.
Yeah, and travel is easy too.
Yeah.
You're wearing your clothes. You don't gotta pack them.
I guess if you have to bring coats, like, you might as well wear them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to flip it back on to you. What's your favorite season to travel? Brie.
My favorite. I have two, but the ultimate.
All right. The ultimate travel season.
Fall. because it's nice and cool and it's really pretty. Yeah. With all the maple trees turning red. What is it called?
Koyo?
Something like that. Yeah. The turning of the maple leaves, like the turning of the leaves. And everything's like red, orange, yellow, still some green.
Ginkgo leaves.
Mm-hmm. The yellow ginkgo leaves. It's all really nice. Yeah, you don't have to commit to like a whole coat, but you can still be kind of cozy and you're not like, okay, because in the summer, as much as I love the sun, I just hate having to bring like body towels to like reduce the sweat and then like...
Or constantly having to hydrate.
Yes, or having like hand fans, like electronic fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's just, there's too much and it's trying to like make sure you're not going to dehydrate. It's too much. So in the fall, it's like all those like extra things are gone and you just can just be yourself.
Yeah, you know? I see what you mean. It's freeing.
Yeah. And I like hiking or like going to parks a lot more then. Mm. But my second favorite is spring because it's equally as pretty. And it's more like for picnics, you know?
Yeah. And the days are longer too.
Mm-hmm. So you can picnic more. So I would say if you're traveling, come to those two. Although spring is super popular. And if you're looking for a cheaper flight, fall. Come in the fall. Yes.
Definitely fall. Mm-hmm. All right. So let us know if these tips helped you or if you have anything to add. Please let us know if you have anything to add. We're always welcome to suggestions so we can make our time here much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're still like babies here, I guess, because a lot of people we know, they've been here for like almost a decade.
I know.
And I'm just like, oh, dang.
Y'all
like,
are OGs, literally.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you want more content from us, check out our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. We filmed a video where we tried Japanese beer and otsumami, which is beer snacks. Mm-hmm. Subscribe for a new video coming this Friday.
Yes.
We appreciate everyone who tuned in.
Yes, we do.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Abnormal Japan podcast. Stay tuned for future content by following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us by leaving us a review, sharing us on your socials, or even joining the Abnormie community on Patreon. Until next time.